Well, thank you, Pastor Basil and Kathy. We honor you. Thank you, New Life family. It's an honor and privilege to be with you all here today. Did you all come expecting today? What did you expect? I have a couple of good recipes. Anybody want some good recipes? Right. You want to hear a word from the Lord. So I want to encourage you in this moment not to look at me. But I want you to hear the words of Jesus as we get into the word today. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into today's message. Father, we come before you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your presence already being in this place. So Jesus, we just take a moment and we honor you, we worship you, we revere your name. Jesus, we declare that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are true. We declare now that there is faith in this house today. So Lord, I thank you that this morning, that your people will not hear my words, but they'll hear your heart from heaven. Jesus, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I thank you, Lord, that when we finish our time together today, that the end result will be this, is that people will have peace for their pace in life and joy for their journey. So, Lord, we trust our time to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, once again, thank you, Pastor Basil and Kathy, for allowing me the opportunity to share with you here this morning. I'm going to continue in this series, if that's okay, with trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord's timing, the trusting in the Lord's pathway and his provision. And I want to share a story with you. A group of scientists and botanists were exploring remote regions of the Alps in search of new species of flowers. One day they noticed through binoculars a flower of such rarity and beauty that its value to science was incalculable. But it lay deep in the ravines with cliffs on both sides. To get the flower, someone had to be lowered over the cliff by rope. A curious young boy was watching nearby one day, and the scientist told him that we will pay you. We will pay you good money if you would agree to be lowered down over the cliff to retrieve the flower. The boy took one look at the steep, dizzy depths, and he said, I'll be back in just a minute. A short time later, he returned, followed by a gray-haired man. Approaching the botanist, the boy said, I'll go over that cliff, and I'll get that flower for you if this man holds the rope. This man's my dad. Now that's trust, amen? This boy knew to put his trust in his dad, in his father. And I want to declare to you today, do you trust the timing of the Lord? We say that we do, though it's written in the word, but do we really? So I want to encourage you in this moment today, I can't stay still behind a podium like Pastor Basil does. I have to wander a little bit. This morning as we share, I want to search our hearts. And if there's anything that would cause you to doubt the timing and the provision and the plan and the pathway of the Lord, I want you to lift that before the Lord today and leave it at the altar when you leave. Can we do that? So today we're going to look at a passage about trust, not between people, but between us and our Father. Us and our Father. So I have some questions before we get into the Word today. Do you trust the Lord to lead you where you should go? I know I've been in that position before, trying to figure some things out. Do you trust God's word? Do you trust God when life seems to be falling apart all around you? Here's an even more important question. Do you trust God during the good times? See, so many times we'll pursue God when things are tough and when there's a struggle. But do we stay consistent when things are going well? Because it's when we follow Jesus continually in the good times, and when we're growing in the good times, will help sustain us in times of trouble and struggle and what looks like could be a setback. Amen? So do we trust Jesus in good times and in bad times? Do we trust the Lord when there's a challenge or opportunity within our family? When there's questions? Do you trust in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus? This morning, let's imagine that we're on a boat ride. See, back home in our church in Boston, I grew up in this wonderful church, and we would host a church cruise, and we would cruise out of Boston Harbor, and it was a blast. And we would all get together. It was usually during the summer months, middle of the summer, and usually one night every year, just hop on this. It was a party boat. It was a triple decker, probably can fit about 300-400 people, and we packed it out. It was a blast. This one year, they decided to theme it a Hawaiian luau. And it was a fun time, and everyone had their white shirts, and they had their leis on, and some people had their grass skirts, and just different things to help kind of promote that it was a Hawaiian luau. This one day, though, the waves were a little more aggressive than times past. So I can remember, you know, on these cruises, we would have praise and worship. We would have wonderful food and times of fellowship and getting to know each other, connecting with people that you wouldn't normally see. So now they're leading us in song. The praise and worship team's up there. We had a full band. We had drums. We had guitar, keyboard, singers. We had a little mini choir. So, I mean, the boat was rocking in more ways than one. They kicked off. And anyone remember that song, Lift Jesus Higher? Anyone, could I see your hand? Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Like, back in the day, we had hand motions for that. Lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. You know, our church was on TV back in the day, and that was the theme song whenever the church program would come up. So we were very familiar with that song. Lift him up for all the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And right when we're singing, lift Jesus higher, lift him up, the most amazing thing happened. We hit this wave. And this wave, suddenly, I made eye contact with the drummer. And all of a sudden, the cymbal started to tumble over, and that drummer just grabbed it just in time. And everyone was enjoying, you know, several people were enjoying a beverage, whether it be, you know, sweet tea or fruit punch or a glass of water or some soda or something like that. All of a sudden, I saw contents leave the cup and fall all over the white shirts. This was an amazing Hawaiian luau, but we didn't let the stains on the shirts stop us. We pursued Jesus. We pursued our time, and we had a wonderful Hawaiian luau cruise that day. So I want to encourage you today. There's another boat story I want to share with you. It's found in Mark chapter 6, and this is where Jesus had just got done feeding the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves. I kind of like to see it maybe as a, you know, I like black and grouper. I like, you know, so I kind of like take a little bit of liberty there, and wasn't just fish and loaves. I see it as a blackened fish sandwich that was so good, because everything important revolves food, right? When it comes to spiritual things. So Mark chapter 6, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, Mark chapter 6, verses 45 and 46. This is from the New Living Translation. This story is found in three out of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. So today we're going to look at Matthew and Mark's account of this, because they share some powerful points for us to talk about today. Immediately after this, after what? After Jesus fed the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida, while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up to the hills to pray by himself. Can we just pause here just for a moment? Jesus insisted that the disciples get back in the boat to sail to the next ministry opportunity at Bethsaida. Why? Because Jesus wanted to take some time to pray, to seek the Father, to get on his face before, to talk to God, to acknowledge him. Jesus was seeking the Father's will for the opportunity that lied ahead. Lord, we're going to, you're sending us to this place on the other side of the lake, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. What do you want to accomplish there? What is your will for this next ministry journey? God, is this your will? Is this your plan? What do you want to accomplish? I believe that Jesus was also praying for the disciples, because this was a stretching of their faith. In a couple of chapters prior, we see another boat ride, and Jesus was on the boat, and he fell asleep on the boat, and winds and waves were stirring. A storm, they were sailing in it. And they had to wake Jesus up because he was sleeping in the storm. And I think that's a perfect model for us, is that we're going to experience tests and trials and storms in this life. There's going to be challenges, but we can rest assured that Jesus is with us in the storms, in the decisions, in the stuff, in the situations, the circumstances, through the doctor's reports, through the hospital stays, through the victories, and through the battles. He is with us every step of the way. But I don't want to go to that story. I want to stay in this story here. Jesus was also praying for the people in their future. He was praying for the people. And Jesus insisted. Insistent means to command forcefully. You guys go. Get out of town. You go to the next place. I'm going to stay here on the mountaintop, and I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to leave until I have direction. That's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful example that Jesus set for us, is that if you're going through something, or even if you're not, whatever lies ahead. So tomorrow morning, there's a future for you to face. What if you took some time before you began your day to pray a little bit more? Say, God, I seek you. I'm going to slow down the pace of my life. Oh, my to-do list, this, 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 and this, and kids to school, and work, and job, and all the things that could try to distract. What if we took an extra few minutes and said, Holy Spirit, I yield this time to you. Lord, I give you permission for course correction in my life. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. If there's anything that is planned out for today, Lord, I ask that you would show me, that you would direct me, that you would lead me, just like you do. But I would expect that, hey, there might be some change in direction. There might be a little shift in your course. But allow the Holy Spirit to have place in your life. I like to say it like this, is that God's commands always includes God's enabling. So it might seem like Jesus sent the disciples ahead and that they faced a storm. What do you do sometimes when it seems like you're facing a storm, but you're in the perfect will of God? Anybody ever been there but me? Some of you might be walking through a time right now. I want to declare to you today that Jesus' commands always includes his enabling, his ability to sail through the storm. I've been on some boats and I've experienced some waves. I've been 130 miles offshore going deep sea fishing off of Cape Canaveral. That's the other side of the Gulf Stream. We hit some pretty big waves. The Word of God, the power of God, the presence of God is not limited to the size of the storm. He can lead you through every step of the way. It doesn't mean that the boat won't rock a little bit. It doesn't mean that there won't be challenges, but it means if he had his command, go to the other side, no matter what they face from here to there, they could rest assured that they were going to go and make it to the other side, because they have the word that went before them. Jesus, yeah, he might have sent them ahead of them, and they might have experienced some waves and some winds and some things in their life. Oh, but there is power with them. There was the Lord, the word went before them, and the word makes a way. Amen? So a few verses down, Mark 6, verses 47 through and 48. Late that night, the disciples were in the boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. I love how the Bible is giving us a clear picture here. The disciples were in the boat, but Jesus was still on land. They're trying to bring a spiritual truth to us. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came to them walking on the water. The scriptures, they make it very clear the disciples were in the middle of the lake in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. There are times where I'm awake at 3 a.m. I don't want to be. I don't desire to be. Whether there's, if the Lord wakes us up to pray, if someone needs to use the restroom, if there's an interruption, or if you're worried or concerned, or you're burdened down by the cares and the weight of this life. I love that the Bible says that Jesus saw them. He saw their struggle. He saw their need. He saw that from a distance, he was on the mountaintop, but over here, he saw they were struggling. See, the lake there, the Sea of Galilee, it was 3 to 4 miles long was the journey. So he saw them from the mountaintop, and he met them. He came walking out to where they were. At 3 o'clock in the morning, when what's keeping you up is keeping you up, Jesus sees you. And there's a supply of the Holy Spirit there to comfort you, to bring you peace, to calm the cares, to calm the anxiety, and to calm the fears, to calm the stuff, to quiet down the concerns of your life. Because if he's there, you're going to be okay. If Jesus is there, if the presence of God, if the peace of God, if the Holy Spirit is there with you, then it's going to be okay. What are we going to focus on? The wind, the waves, the report, or Jesus? I've had to face that several times in my life. But Jesus commanded them to go ahead. Then the storm pops up. Jesus sees the struggle. I've asked this question, and I don't think it's wrong to ask questions like this. God, where are you? Lord, do you see my struggle? You heard the report. You know all things. Where are you in this? I've been there. I've asked those questions. I shared with you before that I had a heart attack when I was 33. Yeah, I'm standing on the word of God for healing and restoration, and God fully healed me and restored me. That doesn't mean I didn't go through a process. And whatever the bad report that I got doesn't change what the word of God said. I've had people over the past 3 years in my life who have passed away of COVID and other different things and things like that. That doesn't negate the power of the word or the healing power of Jesus or what the word says. The Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord. I don't know what goes on in the heart of every person. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and neither do us all. But I have, in my 20 years of ministry, I have been there for people's last breath more than what I would want to. I've done many funerals in my life, and the one thing that I'm aware of is simply this. If someone goes home to be with the Lord, that's the ultimate healing. We're all living for the day that we die. Because that's when the full completion of our faith will be experienced. But in the meantime, I'm not going to build a doctrine or a belief system based off of what someone else experienced. Because the questions as a pastor that I have led people through during those last moments, I'm just tired and I want to go home. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we don't know that, if people around you, if the friends and family don't know that, then we could think that it might not be God's will to heal that person. They might have made a choice to go home. They might have made a choice to do this or that. And we don't know those things. The secret things belong to the Lord. So I want to encourage you is that I've experienced some things. You've experienced some tests and trials, some winds, some waves, maybe some rocking of even your belief system. At the end of the day, my hope is in Jesus. My trust is in Jesus because he's the author and he's the finisher of my faith. Someone else's experience, good or bad, isn't going to change what the Word of God says for me. Or for you. We're word first people that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's about, back to the story here. It's about 3 a.m. Jesus saw their struggle and he came to them. Jesus is always willing to come. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He's always there and he sees your struggle. He knows the concern. He knows the stuff. And he's saying, come to me. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. But we have to take the first step. Jesus is always there. He's got, you know, I have an open door policy. You can come in and let's talk. Jesus always has an open door policy. Come boldly before the throne room of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. I don't know what your story, what your situation is, if you need help, if this is a time of need for you. But you can boldly walk into the throne room of grace and say, Lord, I humbly come before you and I need your help in this moment. I thank you that I have wisdom from heaven concerning decisions in the future, concerning things now, and I thank you that you're working and you're moving. Here's the thing back to the boat and the disciples. They're struggling, they're rowing. These guys were professional fishermen. They had actually been on that lake before and have sailed that lake, the Sea of Galilee, many times. They made their living here. Now they're struggling, and Jesus sees that. He's here with you. Ramon, he's with you in the days to come. And his supply of peace, just as we all prayed, there's peace for you in that moment. Focus on his peace. His peace will lead you through. As Pastor Basil shared a couple weeks ago, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet and still waters. The peace of God is a supply to get you through to the other side of what you're believing God for. And I believe that for you. But in the storm, in the winds and the waves, Jesus was pursuing the disciples. Jesus is pursuing us all in this moment. You know, we hear about the revivals going on all throughout the world, and that's amazing. I'm believing for a visitation here in our community. In our community, that might not look, it might look different. I think revival looks different for everybody. Revival is just acknowledging the Lord and saying, God, forgive me. I'm humbled before you. I repent of my sin and my stuff and my stinking thinking and all the things that limit me from pursuing you. It's a position of the heart. So Jesus, as he's walking on the water, he intends to, the Bible says, to pass them by. He saw the struggle. He came to them. It looked like he was going to not meet them where they were at. But he did. And let's take a look at what the scriptures say. Fear points to where you trust God the least. Fear points to where you trust God the least. Matthew 14, 26 and 27. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage, because I'm right here." And I believe that that's a now word for us today. Don't be afraid. Take courage. The great I am is here. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is grace, there is healing, there is provision, there is protection, there is peace. And that's God's best for you. And I believe he wants us all to experience that and to grow in those things, especially as we're living in the last days and every day is a day closer. Fear points to where you trust God the least. Jesus commanded the disciples to go to the other side. And that command was that protection, that provision to arrive safely, even in the middle of a struggle. Jesus is the Word and was the Word in the flesh, right? And I like to share this with our folks. If you have a verse, you can have the victory. If you have a verse, if you have a word from the Bible, the written word, you know, some people, they're encouraged to have, and I encourage this as well, to have a life verse. If you have a verse, you can have the victory. So I want to encourage you, study the promises of God. Study the Word of God. Because there's going to come a time, if you're not already experienced that, we're going to have to stand and contend for the promise. Amen? What you do in a time, in a storm or a time of uncertainty, reveals what's in your heart. It reveals what's in your heart. You know, about 8 months ago, my mom came to visit from Tennessee, and we went to the St. Pete Clearwater Beach area, and we love that area. I used to be an Atlantic side guy, and you know, but then living on this side of town now, we love it's just a, you know, a short drive away. And my kids are like, no, it's not really that short, Dad. Just leave it alone. But are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So going to the beach, we took my mom, and you know, she hadn't been to the beach in a couple of years visiting from Tennessee. When we arrived, we're like, hey, the beach wasn't that busy today. This is awesome. The Lord's working it out for us. But come to find out that when we got to the beach, there's all this seaweed and all this stuff. And then there wasn't a stink, there was a stank. You know what I'm talking about? There was a stank. And it was stinky. The beach was, you know, it was just, I'm like, wow, are we in the right place? Come to find out, it was red tide. And what happened was during some of the powerful storms over the summer, what was on the bottom of the ocean got stirred up. And then as a result, it affected the ecosystem, and a lot of fish died. So on the beach, in the seaweed, there was this red tide, this red algae, all this dead fish, and all these different things. And it wasn't very good. We didn't stay at the beach very long. So what you do in a storm reveals what lies beneath, what's in your heart. But I've had some great news for you. You can change it. Sometimes it's just a location piece. So if your response is fear or anxiety or concern or weight or you get stuck in the moment, that can change. You can rely on Jesus. You can, okay, that's the natural things, and I understand we're living in a very natural world. But Lord, I make a decision right now. I lay that concern, and I put it right here on the altar. My concern, my anxiety, the stuff, I leave it right here, and I build an altar of praise to you. And I, Lord, I worship you in this moment, and I leave it there because I trust your plan. I trust your provision. I trust your pathway because you're reliable. You're the Ancient of Days, and that he who began a good work is faithful, able, and just to complete it. So I leave it here. As hard as that is for us, because some of us like to be in control, and I understand what that's like. I've been working full-time since I was 10 years old. You know, I'm working hard, and the money to go into the house to pay because, you know, to pay bills because my dad couldn't. So I understand those things, is that you're doing what you can do. You're doing what you know how to do. You're doing what's familiar and what's comfortable. But I want to encourage you, Jesus is just as trustworthy in the chaos as he is in the calm. Jesus is just as trustworthy in the chaos, in the struggle of your life, as he is in the calm. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only difference is when we experience stuff, our soul kind of freaks out. So knowing that, I want to encourage you to guard your heart. The Bible says, because out of it flows the issues of life. So pursue Jesus, trust in Jesus, cast those cares continually, and even more so as we're living in the last days, we're going to have to keep casting those cares. Lord, it's here. Hang on, I've got a few more for you. Here you go. And keep casting those things, and it becomes a desire, and it becomes, Lord, I don't want this anymore. Lord, you take care of this because you fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I'm just going to praise, I'm going to worship your name, and I know we're going to experience things, but as we experience things, that's going to grow my faith, grow my trust, grow in the presence, in the peace of God. So I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. Matthew 14, verses 28 through 32, as we land the plane here, some say. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you. Sometimes when it's really God, we don't recognize him because it doesn't come the way that we want it to come or think it should come or the way he should come. Lord, I'm kind of freaking out over here. There's a lot going on. If it's really you, tell me to come. Wow. And walk on the water with you. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over to the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. I want to encourage you today that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins when you know what God's will is, because you're trusting in Him. So God, I seek Your will, Your ways, Your perfect will, so I can believe it and I can contend for it and I can stand for it in agreement. Amen? Peter wasn't putting God to the test. He was demonstrating his faith. Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on water in faith. You would think the safest place to be was in the boat, but it wasn't. The safest place to be was where Jesus was. And Jesus was on the water, in the wind, in the waves, right there, and it's crashing over him. And Jesus is saying, come, Peter, come, come. And Peter was the only one out of all the crew, out of all the 12 disciples, that actually had the boldness and the faith and the courage to step out and leave what was comfortable to see what was possible. And sometimes we have to be willing to step out of the boat of our security, what we know is safe. And I love safe. I'm a safe guy, ask my wife. Except for sometimes when I drive. I drive a little bit too quick, but don't tell anyone. If you are a police officer here, forgive me. We like to play it safe, though. Come. Peter steps out. He didn't step out in his own strength, his own ability. There's that song, you know, I'm walking on sunshine. Does anyone know that song? Yeah. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. This wasn't that moment. Jesus, once again, his word became the sure footing. His word became the enabling. His word became the ability to allow Peter to take the step into uncertainty. Some of you might face uncertainty tomorrow. It might be 2 weeks from now. It might be 2 months from now. It might be a year from now. It might be 5 years from now. The more of the word that you have, that's the sure footing for your future. Faith begins where the will of God is known. It takes courage to confront what's comfortable. What might be comfortable might not always be the Lord. I've experienced that in my life. I've experienced some uncomfortable times. We want Jesus to come in our boat. Jesus, come in my boat. Come hang out with me. You like my boat? It's pretty nice. You blessed me with it, so thank you. But will you come hang out in my boat? But the Lord wants to increase our capacity sometimes. He wants us to learn to trust at a whole nother level, because the Bible says that we go from glory to glory to glory. Not because of us, but because of Him and His goodness and His power and His presence. But it begins with our trust. It begins with our faith. Do you want Jesus to come into your boat only? Or are we willing to step out of the boat? I believe there's coming a time, and there is a time around us, that there are people all around us that, yeah, we're going through tests and trials and struggles and concerns, but there's people in your circles of influence that need to hear your testimony, your story, and the faithfulness of God, that even though you're going through a struggle, the greatest demonstration of your faith in God Almighty, your Heavenly Father. Can I pray with you? I'm going through this. Can I add my supply of faith to be an encouragement to you? And as you're praying for somebody else, God's taking care of this. God's taking care of your struggle, your stuff, your situation, the things in your family, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, the issues that they might have or might be experiencing in the school systems and in current culture and all these different. God's taking care of those things as you're stepping out to believe and agree with somebody else, because that's how good that He is. And that's the greatest demonstration of your faith, is being able to be in agreement with somebody else. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, there's so many different things competing for our attention. I want to encourage you, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. News reports and gearing up for another election cycle, and those are just wonderful times. They're amazing, and all the different stories and the things that pop up, and it's going to happen, it's going to increase, that's not going to change. So don't let it distract you from pursuing a stronger, unshakable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the stronger you become in your faith, you'll be that unmovable force in the world. You'll be salt and light even more so. And people will know that, hey, there's something different about your life. You've been through a storm, and you've been through a trial and a circumstance and a struggle, and I know that you're going through one right now, but you always seem to be positive and happy. I don't see you having down days, and that's not pressure on you. That's just trust in Him. And it's out of the overflow of your heart, your experience with Jesus in the presence of God that makes a difference. So I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus, because when we look all around like Peter did, that's when he began. He was right there with Jesus. Jesus was right there in front of him. Jesus is in front of us today giving us direction and leadership. But we're looking, it doesn't, there's a distraction here, there's a distraction over here, but Jesus is right here. I'm right here. Don't focus over here. And that's what happened with Peter, is that things started to get stirred up. And he became so overwhelmed with emotion and because of the distraction that he took his eyes off of Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus in the days ahead. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, even if there is a negative doctor's report. Is that that's just the facts, but the truth is that Jesus paid a price not only to save us, but to heal us and to set us free. So let's pursue that. The doctors, okay, that's just the beginning place of where my faith begins. That's just where the winds and waves might be getting stirred up, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and not on this report or this prognosis. That's important, but this is more important because His name is Jesus. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. He did the impossible. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Some of you here, you might be dealing with that weight of depression and anxiety that you keep casting off. God, when does this change? I'm weary. Jesus sees you in the struggle. He's with you, but you have to cast it off. I don't know if you're spirit-filled or not. I believe that some are. But the greatest tool that you have as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, is to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray in tongues, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because my Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David did some things naturally and said, you know what, God's good to me, and even though it doesn't feel like it, oh, God brought me from this. I remember when the lion and the bear and all the struggles and the stuff, and even when I sinned with Bathsheba, he was faithful and he was able. He stirred himself up. He encouraged him in the Lord, and I believe that we need to do the same things in the days that are before us. But it's not just encouraging yourself up. See, the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, that your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit understands. Your spirit's in perfect communication with the Lord. And God's encouraging you. You're building yourself up. You're encouraging yourself in your most holy faith. And there's times where I don't know what to do. I'm going through the winds and the waves of life, and I just pray in the Holy Ghost. And I say, Holy Spirit, I need you now more than ever before. I don't need a pep talk. I don't need another sermon. I just need a moment in your presence. So Jesus, I invite you in. I leave my boat of the situation and the circumstances. Holy Spirit, have your way. But I just want to hang out in your presence, because your presence changes everything. that his presence comes because I give him place. His presence comes when you give him place. Our expectation is his invitation. Can you invite him to come in? Can you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and work in your heart and work in your mind? God, these thoughts, I give these thoughts to you. Not my ways, but your ways. And God will meet you exactly where you're at. He doesn't come in and he doesn't condemn you that, oh, I don't think he was condemning Peter. I think he was just proposing the question, why do you have so little faith? You saw me not long ago when I was with you in the boat. I'm still, whether you perceive me to be in your boat or if I'm out the boat, the word that I gave you was the enabling to get through the other side of the storm, period. Why did you have little faith? So that encourages us to keep our faith in him. But after this, they went and they sailed to the other side and they had another wonderful ministry opportunity. But the Bible says that when Peter sank, he grabbed him. There's going to be moments where weariness might settle in. And it's the hand of God, it's the hand of Jesus that'll grab hold of us and pull us up. Are you calling out to him today? Because that's what Peter, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. And he was right there. The Bible says he's as close as the mention of his name. Wow, he's as close as the mention of his name. We might not have walked with Jesus back 2,000 years ago. We might not have been in the boat or outside of the boat or seen him walking on the waters, but you've seen your provision. You've seen him touch your body. You've seen him work in your life. You've seen him work in your family, in the hearts of your students. You've seen him deliver people from alcohol and drugs and miracles, and you've seen the signs and wonders. And I just want to share with you today, it's just the beginning of what he wants to do in you. So expect more. What lies ahead far surpasses what is or what has been. So I don't know everyone in this place today. I don't know your journey, but I want to encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. It's an old song we used to sing in church. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow, and I will not sing it for you. I will spare your ears. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let me know your wisdom. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. That's my prayer. Is, Lord, if there's anything wrong in my thought process, in my heart, as I pursue you, that's where the fire of God comes in and purges us and cleanses us. And we have that holy awe and that holy reverence that, God, I'm pursuing your plan, your purpose, your will, and I'm forgetting those things which are behind me and I'm pressing on towards your mark. Period, maybe even an exclamation point, because I'm Italian and I get excited. The plan of God, the path, the peace, the provision of God, the protection of God that Jesus paid a price for you to walk in is available for you today. The choice is yours. What you give place to, you entertain. What you entertain is what you will possess. Let's possess the promises of our Savior. Let's possess the promises of God, and let's have that bulldog tenacity that, God, I trust in you, period. Or exclamation point.